The scripture reading this morning is from Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, 5 through 6, and 8 through 10. Ezra summons the people to obey the law. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it, facing the square, before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Peace be with you. Thank you so much this morning, all the musicians and all the worship leaders. Thanks to the congregation for being here. Last Sunday, right after the service, worship service, as the congregation members were leaving, I was in the narthex saying, "God bless you and have a good week to everyone, as usual." Then one of the attendees said to me with his smile, I guess he's not here, "Pastor, are you becoming a better preacher or am I becoming a better listener?" He meant he enjoyed my sermon. Of course, I immediately responded to him by saying, "Maybe both." God is a God of a multiplication. You know, that was the best answer I could come up with. But of course, just as any pastor, I always try to become a better preacher. I try. However, if you, the listeners, the worshiping congregation members, truthfully concentrate on listening to God's word and living out its teaching, the power of God would work and multiply amazingly in your heart and in your lives. Amen. Throughout the Bible, the word of God, we learn and understand God's desires for you and for me and for everyone. Throughout all the lessons, stories, commandments from the Bible, God desires for restoration, wholeness, and healing for your life. Especially through this morning's Nehemiah passage, God wants his people, in this case the Israelites, not only to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, but also to restore the sacred community of people, God's beloved people. In this special context, we must understand what these Israelites had gone through. They just came back from Babylonian exile after going through a great deal of ordeals, hardships, and oppressions that lasted about 70 years. Now, as they were recovering from the captivity and sufferings, now under the leadership of the governor, Nehemiah, and the priest and scribe, Ezra, they are called to be faithful to God's directions. Right after the exile, the people were expected and called to accomplish many things to restore their lives. However, above all, the very first thing they did, they wanted to do, was together as God's people, for worship and to listen to God's words. Verse 3, he, Ezra, read from it, facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. From this verse 3, let us pay attention to two special phrases. First, they were listening to God's word for how long? From early morning until midday, 6 hours. Can you stay for worship for 6 hours? Yes, generally from 6 a.m. to noon. Maybe it was a special occasion rather than a regular Sabbath worship. But still, these long hours indicate how much they had missed listening to the word of God, especially during the exile. Obviously, in those ancient times, there were no nicely printed copies of the Bible handy for individual use yet. Only those heavy and long scrolls that the priests and scribes had exclusive access. So the people did not mind spending a whole day or a whole week listening to the word of life. They must be so hungry and thirsty for God's word, not the food. God's word. And secondly, also the last phrase, and the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. The word attentive is one of the key words here. Yes, they listened to God's word attentively. The Bible reading by the priest Ezra, along with the interpretation by the Levite, truly helped the congregation to immerse themselves into God's presence and God's message. Moreover, we can see more meaningful phrases from verses 5 and 6. The verse 5, the second phrase, and when he, Ezra, opened it, the book, all the people stood up. Standing up when God's word was being read was an active and faithful response to God with respect, allegiance, and dedication. Today in our Christian tradition, especially in our Methodist tradition, whenever the gospel is being read, we also are invited to stand if you are able. Probably this standing tradition practice came from Nehemiah time as well. Moreover, verse 6, then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, lifting up their hands. Wow. It must be an awesome scene of the people saying amen, amen, and at the same time lifting their hands. The word amen or amen is a Hebrew word meaning firm, fixed, sure, to be reliable, and to be trusted. The Greek version translates amen as so be it. Now, most English translations will use amen or amen. Some use it as verily or truly. In terms of a pronunciation, either amen or amen is okay. According to Merriam-Webster dictionary, amen is used to express solemn ratification as of an expression of faith or hearty approval, as of an assertion. Yes, the people of God express their strong agreement with God's word by responding, amen, amen. Speaking of amen, amen, this phrase reminds me of one of the traditional gospel songs, actually in an African-American spiritual entitled Amen, Amen. Anybody remembers that? Yeah, yeah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Yeah, just we can go on and on, right? This song is also included in our UMC hymnal supplemental, The Faith We Sing book. I remember I learned this and loved this song a long time ago in Korea. My quartet friends and I often enjoyed singing this song when in high school. At the time, the spiritual was very popular among many Christians, even in South Korea. It's a beautiful song that covers the entire life of Jesus. And starting with verse 1, see the little baby, amen. And then verse 6, sing hallelujah, amen. Yeah, just and go on and on. Jesus is my friend and so on. I think this song became more famous because of the famous 1963 movie, Lilies of the Field. Anybody seen that movie? Yeah, yeah, okay. Starring Sidney Poitier. I remember in the movie, Sidney was teaching Homer, in the movie, Homer Smith was teaching this Amen, Amen English song to a group of English learning Catholic nuns from Germany, Austria, and Hungary. It's a heartwarming movie about faith. I saw it again last week and enjoyed this beautiful movie. Interestingly, while most movies end with the title saying, the end, right? The end. You know, this movie's ending scene is amen. The amen, amen song is being played from the beginning and throughout the whole movie. You can still watch the movie for free on YouTube. Check it out. Lilies of the Field. Did you know that Sidney Poitier won the Academy Award for Best Actor for this movie, becoming the first African-American actor to win an Academy Award for leading role? Wow. Recently, we were saddened to hear that this actor passed away on January 6, 2022, at the age of 94. May God bless his soul. And anyhow, let's get back to Nehemiah, verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. The people were weeping when they were truly taking every word of scripture into their hearts seriously. They began to examine their thoughts, deeds, and lives sincerely, and they put themselves into confessions with sorrow. Why? Because they admitted their unfaithfulness toward the covenant of God. They realized that they had been neglecting their spiritual lives by blaming their circumstances of the exile and the sufferings. And at the same time, they were also weeping because they were so grateful to God for the opportunity to hear the word. They were so joyful in being exposed to God's words of life. Now, Nehemiah, Ezra, and all the Levites urged people with a hopeful encouragement. The last phrase of verse 10, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yes, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you encounter with God Himself through the written word, the Bible, at first you might be feeling sorry for who you are now, about yourselves, about your sins, and about your unfaithfulness in life. But God desires you to come back to Him. God always welcomes you back, no matter what. God wants you to restore your life and your relationships. God wants you to be happy in God's guidance and care. When you return to dwell in God's word, you can rediscover your joy. Yes, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You must be serious about restoring your relationship with God and with people. And God ultimately desires you to rejoice in your new beginning. According to a report in 2019 alone, just before the pandemic, over 4 million books were published in the U.S. alone. Because of the pandemic crisis, probably the number might have been reduced, but still it shows that there are just too many books to read in your whole lifetime. You cannot possibly read every single good book that is ever published out there, right? I know some of you love to read as many as books possible in your lifetime, but you can read only a limited number of books, only probably some of your favorite books, some of a favorite subject. Just as we sang the opening hymn, Wonderful Words of Life, is the Bible truly words of life for you? If you consider the Bible as your number one priority book, are you trying to read at least one chapter a day or at least one verse a day? If you believe the Bible to be God's love letter for you, to you, the Bible should not be considered as one of the many ordinary books. It's the book. The word Bible is derived from the Greek word biblion, meaning the book. That's right. It's not just a book, but the book. Whenever the Bible mentions scripture, word of God, the book of the law, or God's laws, all these refer to the Hebrew Bible books, including the Torah, meaning the first five books of the Old Testament. For Jews, it's not Old Testament, but the Hebrew Bible. But we, Christians, have the Holy Bible that contains both Hebrew Bibles and the New Testament. The Old Testament was written at different times between about 1200 and 165 BC, mostly in Hebrew language. And the New Testament books, including four Gospels, were written by Christians in the first century AD, in most Greek. So in this case, the Bible is really an old book. Yes, it's an ancient book. However, God still speaks to you through the Bible today. Christ Jesus is dwelling in your heart and in your life through the Bible. The power of the Holy Spirit still guides you through the Bible. And you can be empowered by God's presence through the Bible here and now. Even though you have read the Bible multiple times, or even you memorized the whole Bible, you must engage in your daily devotion through the Bible. That can be your daily bread. Give us our daily bread, right? How come? You can rediscover many new meaning and new insight every day through your Bible reading and prayer. The Bible, 36 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books, a total of 66 books, never change. However, everything about you changes. That's why the Bible is ancient, but ever new. That's why this year I highly, highly encourage you to read your entire Bible in 365 days. The Bible Yearbook is an awesome guidebook for you to read the Bible. I've been reading the Bible again since January 1st this year, New Year 2022, starting from Genesis by following the guidelines of the Bible Yearbook. And some of you have already joined me in reading the Bible. And starting February 2nd, Wednesday at 7 p.m., we will resume our regular Wednesday Bible study via Zoom with this book, The Bible Year. It's easy to remember, 0202-2022. And everyone is invited. And please let me know if you'd like to join the study. I will send you the Zoom link. I don't want to use the word challenge, but it's a worthy and meaningful invitation for you to make the new year, 2022, as your Bible year. As a Christian, I mean, this is a must, right? So please do not put it off. Please do not blame the pandemic for not reading the Bible faithfully. I hope and pray that your joy of discovering and rediscovering God's teaching through your Bible reading journey brings you God's strength in your life. Truly, the Bible is the words of life. I love Psalm 119, 105 in King James Version. Let's read this verse all together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Christian singer Amy Grant wrote the lyrics based on the Psalm 119, 105 King James Version and the music by Michael W. Smith. And it's the United Methodist hymn number 601, Thy word is a lamp. Let us stand and sing this hymn led by our hymn leader, Chris Lufkin.